Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview this morning. This is Dr. John Coben. Currently in the upstate of South Carolina, we have 70, either 71, 72 degrees, something like that, depending where you are. Today it's going to be partly cloudy, patchy dense fog this morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, humid with highs in the lower 90s, light and variable winds, chance of rain is about 30%. So you can have that under advisement as you make your way out to work this morning. Glad you joined us. This is the station that helps you think better. And we're glad that you tuned in this morning in order to do that. Yeah, we're not like any other talk radio station. We cover the tough issues. We ask the deep questions. We're not afraid to deal with public policy from a Christian perspective and try to promote the perspective and vision of the founding fathers of this great nation. We've been reading the Bill of Rights for the last number of shows, and a couple of days we've read the Fifth Amendment to the Bill of Rights because it's so hot in the news, and also because it just happened to be the next amendment we were going to read. I'm going to read it again today, the Fifth Amendment once again. Why not? After all, the Fifth Amendment's pretty important for all sorts of things, in particular how we deal with private property. Article 5, that's Article 5 of the Bill of Rights, or the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, says, "No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime, unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life and limb. Nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation." So there is in the Constitution a means by which the state may determine, the government may determine there is a public use for their property. We're talking about real property here, that's land and buildings. Maybe a use for that, and then they might pay the person something just. Now, the problem is, in the past, things have not been justly compensated, and the reason for that is there is no objective price in the market. The value of everybody's home is subjective. Obviously, you could offer some people, you know, $1 million for their home that's on the market for $150,000, or would be able to market for $150,000. They still wouldn't take it just because the home has such high sentimental value. Now, that wouldn't be the case in my situation. If you want to come out and offer me $1 million for my home today, by the way, I will take it, just to put you under advisement. But for some people, that would be the case. It's been in their family for, you know, generation after generation. There's just no way they're going to sell the thing. And that's perfectly legitimate. All value is subjective, and there's no way a government can put a price on anything, so there are always going to be wars and grief about what just compensation is. What's also interesting about this amendment is this is the only amendment which talks about these three words, life, liberty, or property. Now, these are the natural rights that are mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. And we could read the Declaration of Independence. It says the following. Some of you are going to be familiar with this, but I'll go ahead and read the first paragraph and a half or so. "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Well, folks, the other day the Supreme Court showed its true colors in a 5-4 split decision by robbing people of private property, basically saying that this word public use in the Fifth Amendment, remember where it says there, without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Well, what is public use? Traditionally, a public use has been a bridge, a dam, a roadway, could be a military institution, a government building of some sort that they're using for their actually the offices of bureaucrats and politicians. Those would be public uses. Now, a public use includes the city needing more tax revenue, wanting to fulfill the public interest, the ideals of some philosopher or architect about what the public interest is, or the public welfare is, or the good of society is, wanting to remove urban blight, wanting to encourage development by private industry or private developers. Those are considered now to be public uses. Now remember what Jefferson said. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. There's that word again, by the way. That word, Creator, so dangerous. Not by Darwin, not by anything else than God here. That's what Jefferson was talking about. With certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness in this document refers to those things by which we may pursue happiness, and directly refers to property in the Fifth Amendment. It's the same thing. It's another way of saying the same thing. Life, liberty, and property, those are inalienable rights that Americans are to have. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government, I suppose that would include a 5-4 Supreme Court, I suppose it would include all these whacked out justices that voted for this crazy Kello case ruling, or voted in favor of those folks. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Now, is Thomas Jefferson telling us that right now we have a right to abolish the Supreme Court and replace it with some new form of government? I think he is. I think Jefferson would be screaming at this kind of ruling if he were here today. This is a huge wrong, a travesty of justice, an illegal action by the Supreme Court, and its wickedness in its highest degree. You know, God also has something to say about private property. If we look in the Scriptures, we find out that that the Lord was very jealous for His people, that they would have land, of course. And He's very clear that a good man gives an inheritance to his children's children. In order to give something, you have to own something. And there are many places in the Scripture which allude to the idea of a private property being important. For instance, it was against the Mosaic law in several places to remove the ancient landmarks that divided one property from another. These things were important because it was important to maintain property rights, a division of property, and it stands still today. The principles of God's word are unchanging. God's character is unchanging, even if the administration of His kingdom has different manifestations in the Old and New Covenants. Still, we see property rights being important to the Lord. Why are property rights so important to us, folks, theoretically? Well, there are many reasons. One thing is that we cannot have effective life without property. Ultimately, without land, we cannot live. We need land. We're not sharks that live off of human beings swimming in Florida, after all. We are human beings that require land to grow crops, land to continue our way of living, and without land, we perish. The land is not created by government. The land is a natural gift from God. It was here already. No one had to go out and bargain with the state to get their original piece of land, so to speak, in the theoretical or the abstract sense. We receive this as a gift from God that we are to be able to work and we're be able to live on. Of course, we need to build our shelter on land. We can't live on the sea forever. Human beings need the land. We need that, and that's why God makes it such a big deal that we can have land to pursue happiness to, and as Jefferson said, pursue happiness to enjoy our lives and fulfill our mandate in this world. When government infringes on private property rights, it's attacking the very heart of God in the way that He has set up the world to run for His people, for His kingdom, and for His purposes. We need real property. We need private property. In an economic sense, without private property, there is no way to have a calculation of the mean for the correct calculation for the means of production. There is no one who will take care of the environment. There is no one who will take care of production or producing anything, for that matter. Instead, everything will become a distorted mess of chaos, as it was in the Soviet Union formerly. You need to have private property rights in order to secure the blessings of one's production and activities that and labor that produces the things that we need and desire. Without private property, the world collapses, as we've seen in many socialist experiments, and we have dilapidation of resources. We have a ruination of, again, the environment and of even the family structure. Property is a basic and fundamental institution. The Founding Fathers knew that, and we need to preserve it. These Supreme Court justices who are voting against private property in favor of these fanciful and imaginative ideals need to be stopped. They need to be impeached as traitors, because they are traitors to the American vision and to the American Constitution. Okay, there's your opening tirade from the Tyranny Response Unit. Responding to tyranny this morning on the Tyranny Response Network. Glad you're listening. Let me remind you of our phone numbers. 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You can also reach us on a backup phone line if that one doesn't go through. 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We're a little bit overdue for a break. We're going to jump to a break now, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. As usual, the Tyranny Response Network's research staff has been working overtime late into the night, into the evening, burning that midnight oil, finding out all sorts of interesting stories for us to report on this morning. And the first thing they found out is a new word for us, CARK. I mean, well, what is CARK? C-A-R-K. Has anybody ever heard of this word, CARK? I haven't. My vocabulary is not as good as it should be, I realize, but I've never run across this. You know what it means? It means to worry. To worry. As an intransitive verb, as a noun, it means a worry or a care. So, next time when you're talking about, talking to somebody and they seem a little bit perplexed or down or inquisitive, you just say, "Are you carking? Do you have a cark?" And see what kind of response you get. You can maybe strike up a real good conversation with them about their about this word. It says it's from the Middle English carken, to load or burden, from Norman French carkier, from Latin caricare, ultimately from Indo-European root cur, is to run. That's also the source of a car, career, carpenter, occur, discharge, and caricature. Why caricature? Because caricature is a loaded or distorted picture of someone. Oh, interesting. Enough cark to worry. Thank you, research staff, for giving us our word for the day. Appreciate that. Actually, very interesting. Well, here's a long story they sent up that says, we may not be able to read this whole thing. This is about the EPA's Ruby Ridge of the Blue Ridge. Remember what Ruby Ridge was all about? That's when this poor man, John Weaver's family, was murdered by federal agents. Since we have a caller in line, we're going to postpone this for just a second. Let me go right to the phones here. We'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I talking to?
Hey, good morning, it's Chuck.
Oh, good morning, Chuck, our faithful caller. Glad you called.
Yeah, it's great to be able to call so often these days.
Yes, yes. And we've been talking this morning about property rights and the Fifth Amendment, and now we're just about to talk about EPA's Ruby Ridge. And do you know what a CARK is, by any chance?
Excuse me, what is that again?
A CARK, C-A-R-K.
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Well, I didn't either, but it's a word our research staff found and sent up. It means a worry. And if you're CARKing, it means you're worried or, preoccupied about something. Anyway.
Okay.
That's our word for the day. Go ahead. What's on your mind, Chuck?
Well, it's interesting that you say you're talking about that. I was hearing talk about the Declaration of Independence on the way in. There must be a station playing the replay.
Yeah, on this station or some other station?
No, your station.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was going to say, I'd be surprised if any other station would have the guts to read the Declaration of Independence in public. It's a tough document, you know. It even has the word creator in it. It has things like inalienable rights and secession and revolution. I mean, it's a document full of radical statements that that just aren't very popular today, not very politically correct.
That's right. You had a show the other day about Romans 13, and it raised the question in my mind. Now, your take on it is that the warnings about the state is about what the state might consider good and evil versus what we might say good and evil.
Right.
In that interpretation, how does that fit with it characterizing the state as God's ministers, or is that a misinterpretation of the original?
Well, that's a great great word. Let me go get the Bible here and open it just so people can hear the word read. Since you bring it up, it says let every soul. This is Romans 13:1. Let me read this, and then I'll put this other guy Mugabe's name back in here as we did the other day. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister. That's the word diakonos, or deacon. Same word we get for deacon. Of course, it's not necessarily a church deacon. And Phoebe, in chapter 15 of the same book, is called a God's deacon. This woman, and she was not a deaconess. She was just a servant or minister in the individual sense. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And then the other day on the show, this is the verse you're referring to, right, Chuck?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, on the other day on the show, we talked about this African powder keg, Mugabe, who's driving hundreds of thousands from their homes, a lot of it because he wants to remove urban blight, just like the United States Supreme Court has opened the way for cities to remove urban blight. Well, this horrible dictator, Mugabe, is starting a holocaust in Zimbabwe, or is continuing a holocaust where hundreds of thousands of people are either going to be killed or really in harm's way. And he's a cruel, nasty, oppressive dictator. So I read his name in here instead of the word governing authorities, because in Zimbabwe, if you were a Christian, the Bible would apply to you equally as anywhere else. And you would read it this way, perhaps. Let every soul be subject to Robert Mugabe, for there is no authority except from God, and Robert Mugabe is appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the Mugabe resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist him will bring judgment on themselves. For Mugabe is not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be afraid of Mugabe? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For Mugabe is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for Mugabe does not bear the sword in vain, for Mugabe is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Now, how in the world is Mugabe God's servant? This is the question. Or we could put, you know, Stalin, Bill Clinton, Abraham Lincoln, George W. Bush, any tin-horn dictator in the world's name in there. How can we say that these people are servants of God? Well, there's a couple of different ways that this passage could be interpreted, and since Chuck brought it up, we'll explore just two of them. One perspective is to say, well, Paul obviously was not talking about Mugabe, or in his case, Nero, who was the ruler at the time. Nero was not the servant of God in the sense that he was bringing in the kingdom of God, or actually executing people that God thought were evil and rewarding those who God thought were good. In fact, he did the opposite. He killed Christians who God thought were doing good, and he exalted blasphemers, and he exalted adulterers and murderers and so forth. So that there was one school of thought, which is the Christian Reconstruction school, is that effectively what we have here is a idealized statement from Paul saying, look, this is what government should be looking like. Or maybe this is what government will be like during a postmillennial golden age reign of Christ. And that's a possible interpretation. I don't choose to have that interpretation, but I think it's one respectful interpretation from Greg Bonson and others that we can apply here to the text. It's one way to deal with this idea of these servants being wicked. They weren't talking about him. In other words, this is not talking about Robert Mugabe. It's not talking about George Bush. It's not talking about Nero. It's all future. It's talking about the true servant that will come in at some point and be a true governor in righteousness. The other way to look at it is the liberty of conscience perspective. That's my point of view. That's simply that these rulers do what they think is good and evil. They punish people according to whom they think is good. They disregard what God says. In Zimbabwe, this guy Mugabe does what he wants in punishing those who are evil and rewarding those who he thinks are good. And that's exactly right. He's a minister in what sense, then, to get to the ultimate part of your question? Well, he serves God in two different ways. He serves God in that he brings terrestrial judgment upon sinners. For some places and some peoples, God chooses to use the state to massacre people or to hurt people. And we've seen this in the Old Testament when God sent out the Assyrian, the angel to kill off 185,000 Assyrians, for instance. It is in the mind of God at times to use states or outside forces to kill people. I don't know why God does this, by the way. I'm not saying that I have the mind of God or I can explain why God kills off people, but the fact of the matter is he does. The second reason is he's is administered to us for good in the same sense in the context of this book of Romans 8:28. As far as the church is concerned, all things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. So governments minister to us in the sense of this evil tyrants and so forth, serve as a sanctifying agent in our lives. The church becomes sanctified. There's a blessing for other people. Now, we don't know why, again, God uses this, allows us to be afflicted by states, but we have been in the history of the world, and it has been for our good under the knowledge and foresight and control of an almighty God. So there's the answer to your question, Chuck. I hope that's a reasonable answer. Take a little long, I know, to answer it, but it's an important question. I'm very glad you brought it up.
Yeah, it is. That filled in the gap for me. I appreciate that.
Okay. Very good. Well, how's our soft phone working today?
It's about the same.
Well, okay. Well, we're going to have to get our high-tech technology people here at the Tyranny Response Network to figure out how we can not have an echo on the phone line. I'm sorry about that, Chuck, and I'm glad you're bearing with us here at the Tyranny Response Network.
Well, that's fine. As long as answers work well with the echo, too, not a problem at all.
Okay, good. Well, hope you have a great day, Chuck. We appreciate you calling.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Yes, we have all sorts of new technologies at the Tyranny Response Network. At all times, we seem to get something new happening. And we always are enjoying whatever improvements that can come along our way. We have another call coming in, actually not on the regular soft phone today. We have a caller coming in on the backup phone line. We'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
It's Paul this morning. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Paul, another faithful caller. Thanks for calling. We're doing well, talking about property rights, proper biblical interpretation of what the minister of God might mean. And
I noticed you were reading the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, that's right. It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, I think maybe you ought to, I think an informative show would be maybe a comparison of the Communist Manifesto to the original concepts of the Declaration of Independence, and see which one America more resembles.
That's a great idea. We read not too long ago on this show called the Communist Manifesto, the 10 Planks, and we decided that at least 5 and probably 6 of the 10 Planks had been completely imbibed by the American state and our American society.
I think you're right. 5 or 6 are probably absolutely 100% made into some statute, some type of law, and all the others are in various degrees well on the way.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. I mean,
well on the way. I believe it's a facade. They've done a clever job of liberty, of a democracy, which is really not the republic with inalienable rights, but people don't have a clue. People seem not have a clue how far we've slid down that slippery slope.
Right? Can you hold on,
communism,
Paul? Can you hold on right during the break here, and we'll be right back to you.
I'd be happy to.
Okay, hang on for just a second. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson.
Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we'd like to welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Weather currently outside, 72, 73 degrees in the upstate of South Carolina, depending where you are. And it's going to be partly cloudy today, patchy dense fog this morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, humid with highs in the lower 90s, light and variable winds, chance of rain 30%. So there's your way to get started on your way out to work if you're heading out the door, what you can expect during the day. I'd also like to remind you our phone numbers here, 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You can also use our backup line at 864-201-6955, and we look forward to hearing from you. We've already had a couple of great callers this morning, and Paul has been holding on the line for us throughout that long break, and we really appreciate it. Paul is talking about the Declaration of Independence, that radical document that we've been so willing to discuss here on Christian Worldview, unlike other stations in the area. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, the comparison, the Declaration of Independence to the Communist Manifesto. The communists have those 10 planks, and hopefully the God-fearing capitalists have the 10 commandments. You know, it's just symmetry in everything, and you have to ask yourself to learn those 20 principles and ask yourself which would you rather live under?
Well, we got to be careful. We're talking about public school grads now. Remember, these are the ones where they had seniors do a little survey not too long ago, and they decided that I think 71% of seniors surveyed said that they thought the government needed to take away some of our rights. We didn't have enough. We had too many rights. The First Amendment, especially, was repugnant to them. We thought we ought to, you know, give up that right, abdicate it, and give it to the state. I'm not sure that we'd want to give people that choice currently. We ought to be very careful how we talk to them, I think.
Well, perhaps you're right. I remember that survey too, but that survey is, who knows if that's exactly the truth, because it's in the media, and it's in the survey itself. It's made to obfuscate the truth. Don't you agree?
Yeah, well, you've got a point there. It's hard to believe anything you hear.
It is. We're in a matrix, and they'll twist everything around. They sure will.
Right. Well, they've certainly done well in inculcating us with the Marxian planks, including the income tax, the public school or free public education. These things are all there, right in the Communist Manifesto.
Oh, yeah, and things that are less obvious, the corporate farms and regional planning, they call it the UN biodiversity, or they'll call it sustainable agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
They use code words, government control of labor. We've got the minimum wage. There are so many. Every goes one plank after the other, and think what's actually going on, and they have fulfilled the dream, the Communist Manifesto dream.
I agree entirely. Do you see that? Jefferson said, and the founders, that it wasn't for light and transient causes that we should engage in a war for independence, or a so-called revolution. Do you think that acceptance of these five or six planks wholeheartedly, as well as, at least bits and pieces of the rest dispersed through the rest of these so-called decrees and laws, is justification now? It's no longer a light and transient cause, but we could justifiably have another revolution now and overthrow these traitors that have done away with our great liberty?
Oh, I think there's been there's definitely been a counter-revolution to the Revolutionary War. Actually, the forces behind the Communist Manifesto, which may not be all that obvious, the Lenins, Stalin, Marx, Hegel, these are, but there's other forces behind these forces, and they've been doing the counter-revolution, since the war was won, the 1812, that was a counter-revolution to our revolution. I think in some regards, the Civil War was a counter-revolution against states' rights. And of course, Lincoln broke every rule. Every rule that he intended to
Paul, did you
defend, So, and I think there's been a counter-revolution. I think we should have a counter-revolution to a counter-revolution. But we've got to be careful, because these people are so clever, they'll use that to their advantage also, just like, the surveys and other bits and pieces of, bits of information we get in the news. They're clever. We've got, people have to make the link, I think, to the paper money, Federal Reserve System, and the income tax, because I think, everybody deals with those two on a daily basis. And learn how that manipulates every action of their life,
Well, Paul, let me ask you. You did.
I think people have to be very informed before they start having a revolution. What I'm saying.
Well, I just want to ask you. You mentioned something about a civil war. I think, did you mean to say the war of Yankee aggression or the war of Northern aggression?
Northern aggression. That's correct.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify. Some of our listeners might not understand that word, that term that you use. They might not be as widely read as you to see these kinds of terms out there.
Yeah, the term the war of Northern aggression, if you want to call it. But the South boxed themselves in the corner. They didn't play it. It's hard to defend a lot of what the South did also, in all fairness to everybody. But we're in an imperfect world, and people have to, the war was, I think, against, it was more of a taxation war than slavery war at first. And of course, Lincoln was losing the war, and he had to bring the slavery issue. So, whoever thought of one man a slave than the other should be dug up and hung and shot and burnt and all over, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, things are more complicated than they teach us in the media, in movies, popular culture, in schools. Just very complicated.
Well, you're certainly bringing up a good point about there were certain things the South did which were absolutely stupid and foolhardy. The Southern government was certainly not a icon of or anything virtuous. You know, they had
like all governments, aren't they? If not manipulate crisis to their advantage, they'll even create them. You know, just like the governments we have today, just like all governments always do.
Yeah, I'd like to prefer to use your states. As soon as they become a state, they have conscription, they have paper money, they have, you know, taxation without representation. It's a real mess. And the South, you know, with its policy of burning up the cotton, the worst order Jefferson Davis ever gave was to tell Jackson, actually through General Beauregard, to not cross the Potomac after First Manassas and hang Lincoln as a traitor immediately. He didn't want to invade.
Right.
If he did, just think how many lives would have been saved. So at any rate, the South did have its problems, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Listen, Paul, we're already through another segment. It's time for another break. I just appreciate you calling this morning. Do you want to hang on through another break?
I'm gonna have to go to work, or somebody's going to capture me and flag me. So. But I really appreciate the great work you're doing, and I'm learning something every time I listen. Thanks for the great show.
All right, Paul. Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Have a good weekend.
And you're listening to Christian Worldview. Remember, our phone number is this morning, 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Look forward to hearing your calls, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Thanks for listening this morning. Once again, our phone number is 864 244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative libertarian columnists and true conservative columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Dr. Marvin Olasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and contributions to the homeschooling Sheen family. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full-year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. You can email, or actually you can call 864-268-0576 for a subscription, 864-268-0576. If you'd like to place an ad in the Times Examiner, be sure you call David at 864-244-6464, 864-244-6464, and ask for David in particular. They could really use some ads at this time. If you have a business that can benefit from it, we hope you'll give them a call. Also want to tell you about the Nationalist Times. It's a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. And what else should we tell you about? The only event that's going on this week, which shouldn't be missed if you can all make it, is the Carolina Patriots. You've heard of their ad played on TRN now. The Carolina Patriots monthly meeting in Greenville is this Saturday, 12:30 for dinner. 1 o'clock the meeting starts, goes till 3 p.m. We hope you can attend and join us for a great time together, which we talk about some of the key issues of the day, especially regarding taxation, the Federal Reserve. In fact, a number of things caller Paul was recently talking about. That meeting again at the Prime Sirloin across from Greenville Mall this Saturday at 12:30. Now, if all these announcements, by the way, can be found on the Tyranny Response Network website. The Tyranny Response Network website is tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net, either way, and you'll be able to find the events of the current month or the calendar that's listed there, as well as the related media like the different magazines and newspapers we've just described, and some wonderful audio files. In fact, the audio file section now is chock full of good stuff that you can send folks who could listen to some aspect of the truth that they don't know about now. For instance, this one section we're trying to grow here at the Tyranny Response Network is the Liberty Minutes programs having to do with the nature of the state and the Christian's relationship to its public policies. Here you'll find an audio file on the Second Amendment and public policy theology, an audio file on the theology of public policy in historical context, the divine ordination of state criminals and legalized crime, Christian views on rebellion highlighting the American War for Independence, Christians and self-defense against criminals, including the state, the difference between government and the state. Those are all the series we currently have, those six audio files. They're a great teaching tool, a great didactic series that will help people understand more about public policy from a biblical perspective and to jettison this current nonsensical divine right view that's so commonly purported by pastors and churches across America. This series will be growing in the next few weeks. In fact, months, we will be adding more and more to this particular series of shows, and we hope you'll take advantage of them there. Again, tyrannyresponse.net, tyrannyresponse.com is the place to go to find these great files and activities. One more thing before we go to a quick break. I know our whole segment's been filled up with announcements, but we've been just so chock full of great information preceding this. We wanted to let you know that during the month of June, we're having a special trying to improve our signal in the Greenville area. We're a volunteer organization and fledgling and sometimes struggling, but remember, we always have the high ground because morally, we're doing what's right. We're standing for principle, and we will succeed by the grace of God. But we sure could use your faithful support. If you can contribute this month $25 or more to the Tyranny Response Network, you'll receive a free autographed copy of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. If you can contribute $100 or more, you'll also receive, in addition to that book, the video Warriors of Honor about the life, legacy, and heritage of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee, which is an outstanding video. In order to make a contribution, simply mail your check to TRUE, that's the Tyranny Response Unit Enterprises, T-R-U-U-E. I think the word enterprise is on there, by the way, because it's it makes the acronym sound good, like true. You know, we're for the truth. P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina. That address is at the bottom of the homepage of the Tyranny Response Network. P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina, 29673. TyrannyResponse.com is a place to go for that. If you'd like to use an online payment service like PayPal or use the Visa or MasterCard, you can go to the Tyranny Response Unit's homepage. That's me, Dr. John Coben. You can go to policyofliberty.net, and you can follow the link down to the bottom where it says Donate Now or PayPal Here or something like that, and click that button and proceed. We would greatly appreciate your help this this month, especially as we're trying to buy new transmission equipment in order to get the signal out better. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We started to read earlier, and we'll now continue to read the EPA's Ruby Ridge of the Blue Ridge, or the day the EPA invaded Steve McNabb's manufacturing business. This is an article by Samuel Wardle. He says, "I met Steve McNabb in a bar. He was wearing a flannel shirt, old blue jeans, and had Camel cigarettes sticking out from beneath his gray mustache. I assumed he was just a regular North Carolina good old boy. When he got up from his stool for a minute, his companion leaned over. He said, hey, he said, do you know who that is? He asked the question as if he were sitting next to a rock star or maybe a former head of state. He was excited and should be, too. No, I said. He took on the whole EPA, said the man. He beat him at their own game. That's Steve McNabb. Then I remembered in 1999, I was interning at an alternative political tabloid in Asheville, North Carolina. The headline from the week I started was EPA Stormtroopers Raid Family Factory. That was the McNabb factory. Check out that local article. Gives you a link to it. In 2000, Mr. McNabb made headlines again. He took the EPA to court for damages due to his lost business, and he brought conspiracy charges as well. McNabb lost, but he popped up again in 2001 on a 60 Minutes episode. Steve McNabb has been anything but shy in the last 6 years. He spent his time fighting the federal government and telling anyone who will listen. In the process, he's becoming something of a cult hero of what happened, and what happened at his plant has become kind of scaled-down environmental version of Ruby Ridge. A few weeks later, I went to American Carolina Stamping, the McNabb family's industrial stamping plant in rural Transylvania County. McNabb's wife, Jan, owns the plant. Steve McNabb is president, and his son, Jay, is plant manager. American Carolina Stamping is a small manufacturer with about 12 employees who make light socket mounts and other industrial metal molds. McNabb walked me through the facility, proudly displaying machinery that can cut within a thousandth of an inch and presses that cost $250,000. And he goes on to talk about his fight with the EPA and how he's actually been able to stand up against these thugs and win. Yes, the Tyranny Response Unit just called someone in the government a thug. I did that the other day in person to person with someone who was a professed liberal, and they got very upset with me. How can you say that people in the government are like thugs? Thugs, that's rude. I mean, a thug is like Al Capone or some mafioso criminal. Yeah? I said to her, you bet, that's exactly right. That's what these government bureaucrats are. They are thugs. They use the color of law to rob, to plunder, to destroy people's lives, and the EPA is just one great example of a government thug. There are many other thugs. It's not just the EPA, the FCC, the FAA, the FDA, all sorts of acronyms we could throw at you, different thuggeries and different types of crimes, but the EPA is certainly one that is professing all sorts of proactive nonsense on people and inflicting them with it. They're so-called environmental crimes. With these EPA investigation units. Need a good job? Just go apply at the government. Under Homeland Security, all sorts of people can become cops and help advance the New World Order. We read their ad the other day. Not that we're actually serious about you working there. It's a sad day in America when we have people working for such buffoon or evil organizations in the state. Okay, a scolding from Miss Rice. This is a release on Sunday, June 26, it says. A scolding from Miss Rice. From the Washington Post, on the Wall Street Journal to the Financial Times, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is being hailed for her latest public scolding of America's Arab allies. In what columnist David Ignatius calls the signature line of her speech at the American University of Cairo, in Cairo, Rice said, "For 60 years, my country, the United States, pursued stability at the expense of democracy in the region here in the Middle East, and we achieved neither. Now we are taking a different course." What is it about Rice's speech that makes it so off-putting and irritating? First, in treating friends, common decency, diplomacy, and the good book as well, teach us that private admonition is preferable to public declamation, which is often a mark of the hypocrite. Second, Rice's public scolding fairly reeks of moral arrogance. Unlike my purblind predecessors, Rice is telling us my president and I are moved to a higher, nobler cause. While we fight for democracy for Arabs and Muslims, my predecessors, going back to World War II, were only interested in stability, thus they all failed. This claim is absurd, for Rice's predecessors had to conduct foreign policy during a Cold War in which freedom was at stake. The article goes on to say, does Rice believe that because Nixon, Kissinger, and Carter did not insist that Sadat hold elections, they were on some lesser moral plane than her own virtuous self? Well, perhaps she does. He goes on to say, have they observed how the elections are going and have been demanding have been going on of late? In southern Lebanon, Hezbollah and the Amal militia took every parliamentary seat. In West Bank Gaza, Hamas is so strong the Palestinian Authority postponed the July elections. If Hosni Mubarak held free elections in Egypt, his principal rival would be Muslim Brotherhood. If the Saudi monarchy should hold elections, Osama bin Laden might not win, but my guess is he makes the runoff. President Bush is riding for a fall. He sold the war in Iraq to the country on the hard security ground that Saddam had ties to Al-Qaeda, that he may have a role in 9/11, that he was hell-bent on getting weapons of mass destruction and atom bombs, and that what he did would give them to fanatics to use on Washington, D.C. The lady who stapled together that false and perhaps falsified case for George Bush was Condi Rice. Now they tell us the war was about democracy in Iraq and in the Middle East, i.e. another nobler cause than any other such mundane concerns as American national security. This is baby boomers working up noble-sounding excuses and preparing high-minded defenses in the event that they wind up as failures. The liberals' defense of the Great Society debacles will be the neocons' defense if we lose the Middle East. But Rice's homilies about high-minded she was will carry little weight. Americans won't buy it. Just ask Robert McNamara. Well, I'm not sure that the public-schooled American is not going to buy it. They buy all sorts of things, and they might indeed buy the Condi Rice story, the nonsense that's being promoted through the airwaves. Frankly, they buy lots of different nonsense already. I wouldn't be surprised. Interesting story, at any rate, and we appreciate anybody who can stand up and criticize Condoleezza Rice, the great American black PhD who runs the Bush White House's foreign policy. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. Remember our phone number, 864-244-8177. Look forward to your calls, 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coburn from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coburn's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coburn on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coburn. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coburn's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
This is Dr. John Coburn. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coburn, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. It's currently 72 degrees in the upstate. Some places have 73, like Anderson, or 71 in Clemson. Today it's going to be partly cloudy skies with patchy dense fog this morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, humid with highs in the lower 90s, light and variable winds, chance of rain 30%. We have a caller on the line we want to jump right to. Frank has been holding patiently, and we'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview. Frank?
Hey, John, how are you?
Oh, we're just fatter, dumber, and happier. No, we're fine. We're good. We're part of the Clinton generation, you know. We just cruise along, and we're happy with everything.
Well, that'd be good to hear. I just wanted to let you know from Greer, South Carolina, that we're are glad to hear the radio show, or glad to hear that liberty is being defended at the Tyranny Response Network with you at the helm there, John.
Well, thanks so much for that kudo and that blessing from a great listener. So we're glad that you're able to get us there, and we hope that many other people in Greer will be listening to our station and be able to participate as well, learn something, make them think about something new every day. So we appreciate the call.
Yeah, you know, I just realized last night that you see the news article about Bush and the White House being evacuated for a few moments there with the airplane that got off course.
Oh, well, tell us about this. I didn't catch this.
Evidently, a small airplane, a King Air 380 or something like that, got off course after dropping off a few executives. He was a private pilot for a company that was flying a few executives around, and got off course and flew into controlled airspace towards the White House, and it was amazing the response. The staff at the White House immediately got the president out of the way, and they scrambled the jets. They had the F-16s or whatever they are scrambled and immediately intercepted. And they just highlighted in the article how it wasn't a big problem because the jets got there in no time. And I was just, what came to my mind was where were those jets on 9/11?
Ah, yes. Why couldn't they scramble those jets and take out those planes? That's a very good question. It seems
sure.
Like they could have, right? I mean, isn't there a military and Air Force base somewhere near New York City, you would think?
Yes, yeah, and their response time was under 5 minutes or something like that. They were on this aircraft before it got anywhere near the White House, and I'm just wondering why on 9/11 three aircraft could get where they got after the NORAD known about them for over 45 minutes.
Huh. Well, it's an interesting question. I don't have an answer for it, but it sure puts some doubt in one's mind, doesn't it? Like maybe we've had people on the show before who've talked about 9/11 being an inside job. We've actually read that piece recently, and that Bush actually knew all this stuff was going on and purposely allowed it to happen so that he could increase his power base and promote some of his other illicit ideals as president. And that would just add to it. If they, you know, obviously could have scrambled the jets and didn't.
Sure. Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up, point that out to you and say, again, you know, we're Christian Exodus out here, too, in the upstate, and we're grateful for the communications that comes from your station.
Well, thanks so much, and we are very great supporters of Christian Exodus and their wonderful movement here in South Carolina trying to help this great state secede. That's the best hope I think we have, is to get out of this federal nonsense. So thanks so much for the conversation, Frank, and I hope to hear again from you soon.
All right. God bless, John.
Okay, you too. Okay, well, good show today. Lots of different callers and lots of different information, I think, that could be of great use to folks. I want to remind you once again to go to the tyrannyresponse.com website to find out what's happening here in the upstate. We have prepared this website especially for you so that you can get all the events that are going on here in the upstate, including the Carolina Patriots, which will be going on this Saturday at 12:30 at the Prime Sirloin in across from the Greenville Mall in Greenville. The different news media like Times Examiner, Nationalist Times, First Freedom, other supporters of the show, as well as links to great web pages. These are all here available on the tyrannyresponse.net and .com website, so please be sure to visit. Recently, I was asked at a meeting of the Institute on the Constitution to remind folks, or not to remind folks, but to write up for folks a proposal for redress of grievances. Remember, the First Amendment gives us a right to redress grievances. And they asked me, John, would you mind writing up a bill or a statement that we could all sign as a petition and send to our state governments over this whole property rights issue? And my response to them was, look, it goes far deeper than that. We don't need just to make a statement that we don't like what happened, or even to impeach these justices, both of which things are valuable items. But what we actually need is a statement which declares and affirms that we as South Carolinians, or it could be any other state, believe that all rights, that specifically the rights to life, liberty, and property are inalienable, and they are antecedent to the existence of the state. In other words, they were there before our government or the state was established. And by in so doing, we will be able to tell the government effectively, you have no right to curtail our property rights because you are the public servant, the civil servant, and these rights are inalienable rights. And so that's why Article 1 says that the Congress shall pass no law respecting, and then it skips on to say, the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And we intend to go ahead and have that petition ready sometime this week, if not today, maybe tomorrow, at the very latest, next Tuesday. We'd like to have it done before the 4th of July weekend and post it as a petition for people to sign. So be on the lookout for that. We'll probably have a link to that petition on the tyrannyresponse.com website, depending if we can get our research staff or our website staff to do something. That's Rip and Richie, as you all know. He'll be starting his show here shortly as soon as some of our transmission stuff is taken care of. He'll be in our afternoon show. But Rip and Richie will be putting the links on the page. Well, at any rate, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's time for another quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with a government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This is that station you need to listen to after drinking your second cup of coffee. Remember, we're not going to be lighthearted all the time and full of just trivial stuff here. We're going to be talking about serious theology issues, serious political issues, serious public policy issues, and economics. You're going to come away from our show learning something and thinking deeper than you ever have before, perhaps. Well, maybe not than you ever have before, depending on who you are. But the whole purpose of our show is to help Christians think differently, think better than the world. And I think we can do that. We also need to remind you that we have many people who are not Christians listening to the show. We're glad that you are listening if you're not a Christian. We would encourage you to repent and believe in Christ. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We think it is the power of God unto salvation. But we realize many people listen to this show because this is the only true pro-liberty station on the airwaves in the upstate of South Carolina. You can listen to all sorts of other talk radio with neocons or even liberals or leftist moderate type people, just babbling about whatever news story may be about. but very few, if any, very, very little, if ever, do we find true liberty promoted on the airwaves in the upstate of South Carolina. At any rate, what else do we have in the news here today? Well, we have several stories. We haven't even begun to exhaust what the research staff has sent us. Such great stuff. Kiss your vitamins goodbye, says Dr. Carolyn Dean, Sunday, June 19, 2005. This is a News with Views. The U.S. delegation to CODEX has just issued a formal statement to the CODEX Alimentarius Commission that the United States during July 4th through 9th, 2005 meeting at Rome will support the compulsory rules created by this international organization directly overruling U.S. law regarding access to vitamins. The U.S. law that is about to be vanquished is the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act of 1994. CODEX is a joint venture between the United Nations World Health Organization and Food and Agriculture Organization. The World Trade Organization has already stated that it would enforce CODEX guidelines as the world standard for trade in dietary supplements. This will mean that gradually, pill by pill, our access to the dietary supplements will disappear. I won't read the rest of this article. It's a lengthy article, but the real question is, what in the world are we surrendering our sovereignty as an American nation to the United Nations or to any of this CODEX business commission? I mean, this is preposterous, is it not? I mean, what listener can really say that's a good deal? Well, there probably are some of you out there, some listener somewhere who would believe that it's good to have some social hierarchy like these mega one-world rulers and things. But how can we have the United Nations just trampling the American law? Americans make rules, and then the United Nations, through these organizations like CODEX, come in and overrule us? How can the leadership of the United States, if they're right in upholding the principles of the Founding Fathers and the Constitution, say it's okay to have a multinational organization or group ruling America, whether it's vitamin law or anything else? I don't think it can. I think it shows treason. Once again, these people are violating the Constitution. And as a result, we may lose some vitamins. Well, maybe there'll be a black market for vitamins now, and we'll still be able to get them. We'll have to pay a higher price. Sad. What else have we got in the news? Suspect admits BTK killings and recounts grisly details. Yes, we heard about this on the news the other day. Hours before his trial was to start, Dennis Rader admitted yesterday that he was a notorious BTK serial killer who terrorized Wichita, Kansas for decades and eluded capture for 31 years. Mr. Rader discussed his crimes, which took about an hour to describe to the court, in an emotionless, matter-of-fact manner. Dennis Rader, 60, discussed his crimes, which took about an hour to describe in the court in an emotional and matter-of-fact manner. I think I just read that. I'm repeating here. It's an echo you hear. Text, criminal charges. The 60-year-old former code compliance officer in Park City, a Wichita suburb, replied with a simple yes, sir, or yes, your honor, as Judge Gregory Waller of Sedgwick County District Court asked whether Mr. Rader, is it pronounced Rader or Rader? Rader. He's Rader without an I. And if you don't watch television, you don't know how these things are pronounced because you don't listen. You only can read. But at any rate, and I don't spend any time in front of the fool box. It just doesn't seem to do me any good. May do you some good. I'm not making any judgments about whether or not you watch television or not. I'm just saying I don't watch it. Mr. Rader was killed. Each of the 10 victims from 1974 to 1991, and whether Mr. Rader understood his rights. The former Boy Scout troop leader, married father of two, and regular churchgoer pleaded guilty to 10 counts of first-degree murder. The killings took place when Kansas was about without a death penalty, so prosecutors cannot seek to execute Mr. Rader on these cases, but he will most certainly spend the rest of his life in prison. Well, disgusting. What is it about the U.S. government, the criminal justice system, that this guy's been living in Kansas City the whole time, and they can't find him? I'm telling you, folks, I have some real questions about the effectiveness and efficiency of the American government's judiciary, but also about their police function. I mean, if this was privatized, if there were mercenaries allowed to roam the streets and hunt down this guy, if you went to the post office and saw a reward, given for $10,000, dead or alive, to this Rader guy, you think they would have got him? I don't know. I'm asking the question theoretically. I think they probably would have done a whole lot better than these Kansas City folks who took 31 years to find this guy It just seems to me that, you know, if he was in Alaska and it was harder to find him, or he moved down to Brazil, you know, to elude capture, okay, I can see why it might take a little longer. But if he's still sitting in Kansas City holding down a regular job, and I believe it was even a government job, wasn't it? How come they can't find this guy? That's a question I have. I don't know if there's a quick answer to it, but I have some doubts about whether the reactive functions of the state are really being carried out effectively or well. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you did. We're going to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen, and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to the last segment of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Who are the neoconservatives? Oh, another little piece sent up by the Tyranny Response Network staff, research staff. This is from Pat Buchanan, none other than Pat Buchanan. The first generation were ex-liberals, he says, socialists and Trotskyites, boat people from the McGovern Revolution who rafted over to the GOP at the end of conservatism's long march to power with Ronald Reagan in 1980. A neoconservative, wrote Kevin Phillips back then, is more likely to be a magazine editor than a bricklayer. Today, he or she is more likely to be a resident scholar at a public policy institute, such as the American Enterprise Institute, or one of its clones, like the Center for Security Policy, or the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs. As one WAG writes, a neocon is more familiar with the inside of a think tank than an Abrams tank. Almost none came out of the business world or military, and few, if any, came out of the Goldwater camp. Their heroes they invoke are Woodrow Wilson, FDR, Harry Truman, Martin Luther King, and Democratic Senators Henry Scoop Jackson and Pat Moynihan. All are interventionists who regard Stakhanovite support of Israel as defining characteristic of their breed. Among their luminaries are Gene Kilpatrick, Bill Bennett, Michael Novak, and James Q. Wilson. Their publications include the Weekly Standard Commentary, the New Republic, National Review, and the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. Though few in number, they wield disproportionate power through control of the conservative foundations and magazines through their syndicated columns and by attaching themselves to men of power. Interesting. Now, we have even neocons here in the upstate, of course. Many people are afflicted with this disease. Even in the Times Examiner, if you read Tony Beam's articles every week, you'll find a pretty good example of a neocon. He claims he's not a neocon, but his views seem to exemplify that. Sometimes, unfortunately, even Thomas Sowell has slipped over to the neocon camp on a few of his views. I think it was last week's article in the Times Examiner, Thomas Sowell defending the Patriot Act, was absolutely absurd. I was sad to see it happen. But Thomas Sowell is usually just such an outstanding columnist that we Everybody has a faux pas, I suppose, and I suppose this was one of Thomas Sowell's. He's a little bit old now, too. Maybe he's beginning to lose his mind. I don't know when it comes to the Patriot Act. Like Thomas Sowell, don't mean to disparage him at all. Everybody makes a mistake. Even the tyranny response unit at times makes mistakes. I just asked my wife. She claims I make them all the time, but she may be exaggerating. Well, what else have we got to talk about today? How about CAFTA's covert operations or a covert opponent in China? Before I do that, I'll tell you the phone numbers just once in case somebody wants to call in at the last minute. 864-244-8177, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. This is by Thomas T. Tkacik, I think. T-K-A-C-I-K. How do you pronounce that name? Anyway, John J. Tkacik, Jr., CAFTA's covert opponent in China. The multi-fiber arrangement of world quota free trade in yarns, fabrics, and finished textiles, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, represents a direct threat to China's growing power. Indeed, its near monopoly in world textile production. If passed, CAFTA would enhance the competitiveness of Central American factories that pay higher wages than China and predominantly use U.S. cotton. But if CAFTA fails, the U.S. cotton exports to Central America will come to an end, while U.S. imports of Chinese textiles with little or no U.S. content soar. U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Western Hemisphere Affairs Roger F. Noriega warned last March that China has been translating its economic success and its search for resources to fuel its economic growth into greater influence in the Latin American Caribbean. U.S. disengagement from Central America leaves a very real political and economic vacuum that China appears more than happy to fill. CAFTA's defeat, therefore, would be double victory for China. Well, that's an interesting story. We haven't thought about this angle before. Generally, we don't like CAFTA because it's part of this globalist empire, this new world order moving in on us to subvert American rights, to undermine the authority of the American Constitution and give it to a multinational organization, a hemispheric government or a state. Run a bunch of folks. So we're opposed to it primarily for that. One of the consequences might be that we have, of course, some effect on the American job situation in certain fields. And if CAFTA is defeated, what would happen with China is actually something we hadn't thought about before. With all the labor they have over there, cheap labor, it would seem like they would be able to export cotton fairly cheaply. So it's an interesting point of view to consider, to say the least. Hadn't thought about it before. Okay, a couple other things. Well, we got so many things to read here. Some are from yesterday, some from today. Here's the Libertarian Party, who have issued an exit plan. They offer a real plan for Iraq. President Bush urged to accept common sense exit strategy. In an address to the nation last night, President George W. Bush presented a change in mission for Iraq, moving away from Iraqi liberation and the threat of weapons of mass destruction to an ongoing hunt for terrorists. While the violence in Iraq has been growing, the Bush administration has remained stubbornly silent on plans for withdrawal of success in Iraq. In his last address, the president continued down his path of vague missions and plans. The Libertarian Party strongly disagrees with the President Bush's unclear mission. We are not hunting down terrorists. We are enabling them and providing Iraqi insurgents with a common enemy. We are not advancing freedom. Instead, we are advancing chaos in the Middle East. So the plan is to just get out, according to the Libertarian Party, and I think they have a good point. And, of course, being a pro-life libertarian, I tend to agree with most things that they come up with when it comes to foreign policy. As I think many constitutionalists, if not all of them, would agree that this insane war needs to end and we need to pull out troops immediately from Iraq. You've been listening today to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad that you did. Glad that we were able to share your morning with you and hope that you're thinking a little bit deeper, a little bit better. Look forward to having you on for another edition of Christian Worldview tomorrow morning. Remember to check out the tyrannyresponse.com website. Send your donations in, folks. It's time we need to expand our signal. We hope that you'll keep being generous, at least with small contributions to the Tyranny Response Network. Anyway, until tomorrow, we'd like to sign off for now and say God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.